Blog Talk Radio.
And everybody should know that's how love goes. It's good for the soul.
Oh, I got a long way to go, but it won't.
Welcome to the Healthy Soul Talk Show with your favorite therapist, Dr. Kimberly Thomas, checking in on this great Tuesday evening. Come on in. As you come in, share this live welcome on Blog Talk Radio, where if you want to call into the show, you can definitely do that. The number is 323. Can you help me out a little bit? Because apparently, I'm missing a note.
323-870-4375. Again, the call-in number for her show is 323-870-437. Let me say it one more time for her show. 323-870-4375. Thank you. We look forward to hearing from you.
Yes. Press 1 to go live, okay?
There you go.
All right. Awesome. You can join us on iHeartRadio as well as Spotify if you want to tune in later. All right. So thank you for joining us on Facebook Live. Hope you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving as well as weekend. And we're ready to go into December. Right. And I'm excited because it's definitely the month to reflect and, you know, finish out some goal setting and reflect on the goals you have met and right in those accomplishments. So, yeah, we're going to talk about a few things this evening and hopefully we get the word out about taking care of your mental wellness. We're going to spend a couple of weeks diving into that and what that looks like so you can be well, right? 2020 has been an interesting year, but a very reflective year. So how do you pull gratitude out? How do you now come out of this thing reflecting on how you survived, the resiliency you have, but also, okay, I need to recover, right? So what does recovery look like as we go into a new year? All right, so check in with my producers. How are you all doing right now?
I'm great.
Okay. I caught, you know, some of the show yesterday about your Thanksgiving.
Oh, that was yesterday or Friday? What show?
It Friday?
Was it me and Harold or was it me by myself?
Hold on.
You getting your days mixed up. Because I know you was on
Probably.
Friday. I know you were on Friday.
Yes, that was funny.
That's what I heard.
Go ahead, Mama. Mama is getting her life back and you need not to interfere with that process.
Oh,
okay. Man about a dog. Let's be clear, all right? Yes, it's a new day, all right?
Did you encounter any gritty greens or crunchy macaroni?
I did not. I made sure, you know, I was not going to be.
Okay, just checking. I just want to make sure you was good because, you know, you did
yes,
all that.
I went out of my way.
I was concerned. I was concerned.
I did get left. So we went to my daughter's, you know, home, and she disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
It's like she opened the door to let us in, and she left us all there cooking. You know, she just went to go watch TV and never came to help out. So we just, I don't know, I felt some type of way at first.
Give yourself just a little bit more volume, just a little bit. Just
right,
little
I
bit.
Felt some type
there
of way.
Go. That's good.
You know, she just left us. But, you know, Christmas is coming up, so she's definitely going to have her time, right, to be back on it. But everything went well, right? Everything went well, and I didn't try anything new, right?
That's good. But, that's good. You learned from your own session.
Oh, yeah, but the videos were funny, right? There were some videos that were coming out.
Really?
About some folk, you know, trying new. I think I saw one video where the person who was preparing the macaroni and cheese added 12 eggs.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that on TikTok, and that's horrible.
Is that the one where the lady was cussing out?
Yes.
Oh, that's old. That's not even a TikTok. Is that a TikTok video?
It's now on TikTok, and people are dubbing it.
Right, because, yeah, I've seen that one before. Definitely seen that before. But, yeah, she went all the way in it, as she should have.
I can't even imagine. 12 eggs. But yes, all was well, and yeah, I'm thankful, right, that we were able to get together and you know, other families as well. People were very creative, right? And I think on my end, you know, people that I was checking in with, in their words, they canceled Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay.
Right. They literally at the end, as a family, decided they were not going to meet, you know, home. And they said, you know, we'll see you all around Christmas time. And there was contentment there.
Mm.
Right. And so that was good to hear where people made those decisions and it was respected.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It was respected. So, you know, I can't say everybody, you know,
wasn't last year was that the first, maybe I'm late because that wouldn't be the first time. Wasn't last year the whole Friendsgiving thing? Was that last year that started? People started doing Friendsgiving.
Friendsgiving, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Last year was really when I understood what it was.
Okay, for last year was the first time I even heard it.
Yeah, yeah. So I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard. Maybe, you know, because of the pandemic and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But this year wasn't as heavy, right? It wasn't such a heavy focus, right?
Well, no, because you couldn't, you know, they didn't want nobody hanging out with nobody.
Well, people still hung out now.
Oh, yeah, people still, yeah. People did some major hanging out.
Yeah.
Talk about crazy, but I'll say that for some other time. Well, you know, it's a term crazy. No, as I was, when I was going home earlier today from helping my buddy out with his sound system, I had to go around the block a couple of times because I was on my mom's block. And the block around the corner, somebody is having a video game party.
Video game.
You know party. Where you rent the trailer?
Oh.
You know, that is closed quarters. But I saw people dropping off their children to this house, and they finna have them a video game party.
Wow.
Here's the problem. They think when you constantly hear of things closing, but you would not close schools, then kids can be around each other. That's what you putting out to the universe.
Mm-hmm.
The kids
right.
can be around each other.
Mm-hmm.
Not us older adults can be around them, but the kids can be around each other.
Wow.
That's what I'm deeming is happening.
Okay. I think it's just, you know, for me, it's a spiritual thing, right? You know, in this field, we're getting a lot of questions asked, when is it going to be over? Right, because it's taking its mental toll and emotional toll on people. And one thing is for sure, we're learning that people are going to do whatever they want to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You understand? Like, we could get mad, we could get frustrated, right? Especially those people who are being approached without having a mask or you're too close. You know, at the end of the day, people are going to do whatever they feel, right? Yes, some people have no regard.
Mm-hmm.
Some people just don't care. They violate your space, right? You know, and the idea, like we tapped into last week, I'm spending as much time as I can with my loved ones because, you know, you never know, right, when your day is coming. So we just have so many different mentalities and, mm-hmm. you know, fears that we don't have. This is, we can't say when it'll be over.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We honestly can't say when this is going to subside. Because people are driving off of their thoughts and emotions right now.
Mm.
Right? And what's that saying? You know, can't nobody tell you nothing.
Mm. Nobody tell me nothing. Right.
Right? And so that's kind of what we're up against, right? It's just really being mindful, prayerful, right? That God comes in and, you know, does what he needs to do, right? So that we all feel safe. You know, what's wrong?
With what?
What are you over there thinking about?
No, I'm talking to her about something I see on the screen.
Oh,
no,
okay.
You do your show.
I'm
we producing.
I thought you were reflecting. No. I'm about to go alone with my business. So let's get into the subject for the day. So I wanted to dive into talking about therapy, right?
There's no thought for the day?
Yeah, we're going to get there.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. We have some Did You Knows coming.
So
up.
Sorry. Go for it. Your show. I just work here.
Because, you know, I think it's not talked about enough, right? Mm-hmm. I really want to dive into, you know, making this an okay platform to say the word therapy, right? And it continues to, you know, break down that stigma and, you know, don't think that you feeling that you need therapy right now means that you are, quote unquote, losing your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're living in trauma. Right. That's number one. We're living in trauma. We're living through trauma right now. And so everybody's feeling something. And to recognize that you need as much care as you can get right now is essential. Mm-hmm. Right. And I'm not just, you know, confining the thought of therapy to just one-on-one counseling, right? There are many levels of care when you talk about behavioral health care. And so I wanted to make sure that, you know, we open this door wide so that we normalize what we need today, right? We normalize that, okay, due to emotional pressure, fatigue, feeling, you know, emotional exhaustion and, you know, we're losing our jobs. Some people are losing their homes and a lot of instability, financial issues going on. Your body's responding accordingly, right? But we know that because we've been in this prolonged state of distress, please don't underestimate the power, right, of behavioral health right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Don't underestimate it. And so I wanted to make sure we dive into this evening, right, talking about, you know, why you should, right? When you think about what's said in therapy stays in therapy, that's the question, or you know, that's the tone this evening is, you know, the sacredness, right? The sacredness of therapy is important, right? The essence of it could be essential to your next level of self-care. All right. So we always kick it off with, did you know? All right. And so, you know, I'm trying to be relevant to the topic that we bring up, just to kind of lead into discussion. So I found some statistics from 2019.
Uh-oh.
Right. And in the first one says here, as it relates to any mental illness, right? So that ranges from substance use disorder to emotional disturbances, psychosis, mood disorders, right? All these disorders, you know, the first one says in 2019, there was an estimated 51.5 million adults age 18 or older in the United States, right, had any form of mental illness, right? 51.5 million adults were diagnosed with a mental illness.
Wow.
Right? And so that's 18 and over, right? And at that time, it was suggested that the number represented about 20% of all United States adults. Right? And so, you know, we can look at this various ways, you know, whether it be, you know, having a diagnosis, you know, just to get, you know, benefits approved, or, you know, you went through counseling, or, you know, psychiatric care, outpatient, inpatient, right? Partial hospitalization. This includes all of that. And, you know, sometimes people feel like they're the only ones experiencing mental illness. Right. And so someone out there just said, oh, my goodness. Right. 51.5 million adults. Right. That's a lot. Well, there's somebody else who felt like they were alone. Right. That no one else is experiencing what I'm experiencing right now. Right. And so 51, that was in 2019. I dare not say it's probably higher now. Right. Due to external, right. Mm-hmm. External factors that have put some emotional distress on us, right? When you heard, that number, what were your thoughts?
I honestly, give me the exact number again. What was it? This is 2019, so this was over a year ago.
Yes, mm-hmm. An estimated 51.5 million adults age 18 and older in the United States
are doing what again?
Were diagnosed with a mental illness.
I can believe that. I shouldn't say I'm surprised at the number, but I can believe that, because that says what's been diagnosed.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, absolutely.
That ain't counting the ones that's.
Mm-hmm. What are you trying to say? Now, you mean the ones who
those 51 million sought help, or help was at least offered. I'm thinking about the other 50 million.
Really?
I'm just throwing that number out there. I'm thinking about the other 50 million that ain't sought no help because they don't think nothing wrong with them.
Okay. That's a very small percentage, right? But when you know better, you do better. I like to think that there's just certain, again, that stigma, right? Nobody, I think we've just put this image out there that if you express certain things going on in your body, right? Mm-hmm. And this goes back to the beginning of time, right? We didn't call it mental illness. We said you were possessed, right?
Demonic,
right? You had some evil spirit.
You don't think some of the people actually were possessed?
Who? Back in the Bible day?
I'm talking about period.
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You could have gave him some Prozac and it would have been all right? I'm sorry, you can't write no prescriptions, though. I'm so disappointed in that you can't write no prescriptions. That really hurt my feelings. Can Dr. Brown write prescriptions?
No.
Really? Oh, y'all some quacks. I'm upset right now. We can't get no scripts.
We believe in a natural approach.
The one that's going to help you turn your mic off.
The natural approach to healing.
I'm sorry, go ahead. The natural approach?
Yes.
Okay. All
right. Right? We call it the long route to healing.
Okay.
All right. Next digital fact here, right? Hey, Felicia, how are you? The next fact here. Now, remember we said an estimated 51.5 million adults, right, were diagnosed with some mental illness. Of that, only 23 million received mental health service.
Okay.
That was in 2019. So we're looking at about, right, almost 45%. So again, you know, what's happening that we haven't crossed at least the half mark, right, of being diagnosed in the follow through on treatment.
Okay.
And so that says something here. This is where I come in and say, okay, right, let's understand something here. Your behavioral health experience should be a part of your wellness plan in general, right? It should be okay for you to talk to your therapist or your psychiatrist or your group facilitator, just like you do your general practitioner, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, at home, you should be able to say, hey, I have, you know, an appointment with my therapist today. But do you know how many people have to keep that a secret? Because you get questioned about going to therapy or a group or you know, treatment, outpatient treatment, right? We're not as supportive as we need to be to encourage people to make behavioral health a part of their regular, right, regular day-to-day care.
Isn't that a part of the culture, though, with us, or no?
It's like yes and no, because now I see generations shifting. I see generational differences,
okay,
right, and how therapy is embraced, right?
Okay.
So my younger generation, particularly between 25 and 35,
mm-hmm,
it means, you know, they could care less if you know, right? There's this, you know, yeah, I got an appointment today with my therapist, right? Or, yeah, you know, I have this, and this going on, right? And it relates to some form of behavioral health, right? There's a carefree,
mm-hmm,
right? There's a carefree presentation that goes to that. But the younger, right, the teenagers now, right, there's a shame to it. And I think that's because, you know, they are having some other issues going on. And then the older generation, right, you don't need no help. All you need to do, right? And here we go with the advice giving.
I think about the kids who are at schools now, who, mm-hmm, have either a therapist at the school that they are, I don't want to say mandated to talk to, but that they,
right,
talk to.
Mm-hmm.
We have those that go to anger management.
Yes, yes.
And so I think there's going to be a next generation of children who are not going to be ashamed of.
Okay.
And that's only because I see kids at my school and they'll be like, hey, I'm finna go to anger management. I'll be back. And it's like, they ain't, you know, it says, no, I got to go see Miss So-and-so. I'll be back. And it's like, oh, okay. So it's like, oh, I'm going to see Miss So-and-so. So it's like,
yeah,
there's like a, and I don't know if it's just because they're glad to be able to get out of class or they're
whatever
really
works,
looking forward to having the conversation.
And that's key, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the system is getting better at not shaming it.
Okay.
Right. And not, you know, there's a way we should be able to give our teens and children services without making them feel like the only reason you're doing this or the only reason we're telling you to do it is because something is wrong with you.
Mm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that something is wrong makes you're an outcast. Right. Yeah. So we have a couple of comments here. Felicia said, found out my neighbor so calm. She has lots of CBD.
What?
I'm going to talk about that in a few shows coming up. And then Malia, hello, Dr. Thompson, the producer. How are you? Thank you for joining us. Yeah, Felicia, that's hot right now. You know, mood-altering substances. We're going to talk about that a little later, right? So as we get into the topic tonight, you know, I wanted to jump into, when you think about that statement, what's said in therapy stays in therapy, right? The power of therapy, okay? And we're going to talk about five components here, five, you know, reasons, right, why you should engage in some form of therapy. And when I say that, I really mean the various forms, whether that be group therapy, right, support group format, you know, psychiatric help, right, partial hospitalization, whatever it is, whatever your level of care, whatever that recommendation is, right, we should embrace that. So the first reason here is friends and family cannot be your only outlet.
Okay.
Right. And think about that for a moment.
Okay.
Right. They are a great resource, a source of support. Right. We always ask, right, who can you talk to? Who's there, you know, in that moment, right? In a time where you're feeling like, okay, I need to talk, you know, somebody, you know, make me laugh or kind of get me out of this rut that I'm in at this moment. But then is it truly helpful to rely solely on friends and family to help you through your emotional, right, issues,
mm-hmm,
your ongoing right? Your unresolved issues, that stuff that hits you to the core. And so when you think about therapy, right, first of all, you know, my sessions are 60 minutes. Typically they are. So they should range from 45 to 60 minutes. This space for you at that time, right, that's individual. Groups are about 3 hours. So this space, right, has been created for you to be the most vulnerable, right, that you need to be. And I'm going to say this. You should be free to say whatever it is that's rocking you to your core without being judged. Everybody can't handle what's in your core.
Wow.
Right? So you know, and that's why, you know, for me, it's so sacred. Therapy is so sacred. You know, I'm not in the business of blasting out, right,
mm-hmm.
what therapy looks like from a clinical, you know, using my own, you know, practice, right, experience. That's how sacred it is to me, right? I let people tell their own testimonies. And you need to know that therapy is a safe space for you to be the most vulnerable, whatever however you feel, right? You should be free to share it in your own voice, your own language, right? And you know, however way it comes out without a response being you're overreacting.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're staring at you like, I don't know what to do, right? Or I feel sorry for you. Right. This makes it where, okay, am I that bad? People begin to question, right? Well, if you can't help me, right, then nobody can, because you're relying on friends and family, right, to bring you out of your emotional stuff, right? These packed on issues, this trauma. So friends and family cannot be your only outlet.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Most information that you've told to family or friends in some form resulted in being judged, right? The way they look, right? You know, body language says a lot.
Absolutely.
Right? Body language says a lot. So taking this all in consideration, right, you always want to make sure that when you, in order for you to get this stuff out, in order for you to process the trauma, in order for you to start your healing journey, you have to be in a safe space, emotionally safe. There's nothing like confiding in someone, and the next time there's a family gathering, somebody coming up to you asking you about that situation that you told you confided in another family member. That ever happened to you before?
Nah, because I'm like a vault. So you tell me something, you ain't got to worry. Anybody never finna come back and say, did you tell somebody? I'm like a vault. But I've experienced other people's issues,
right,
with it though. Yeah,
right.
I've seen it happen. Absolutely. Which is why some people remain clogged up, so to speak.
Yeah, and you know, how do you feel when you come back and you share with someone that you've gone through something and they say, see, I told you so.
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
Now we have, you know, an added layer of emotional distress,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, you know, we are trained professionals. We're trained in the sense of this understanding that people have some stuff to get out, and we need to make sure that they can get this stuff out. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Without being judged, without being, you know, how sometimes you've been told something by somebody and you're like, are you sure it happened like that? Right. Is that, you know, maybe it's all in your head. Right. Maybe. No, I don't believe that. Right. You have to understand that not everybody will get you. Not everybody is to hear, you know, the matters of your heart, because it takes a skill. It takes patience. It takes, you know, consistency, and it takes a level of training, right, mm-hmm. to be able to allow somebody this particular platform to share and process and start their healing journey, mm-hmm. right? And so, yes, you know, not conditioning yourself to, you know, as they say, tell everything, right, to your family and not expect a certain type of response, that's unfair to you because they're only human, right? And families generally don't want to see you hurt, so they're quick to try to give you advice, right? So when they give you advice and you come back and you say, oh, you know, it happened this way. Yeah, their initial response is, I see, I told you, you should have did it my way. And that's not what you need. That's not what you need.
No, I agree wholeheartedly with that.
Right. Okay. Felicia says, do you know if people can take time off work for therapy without being fired? Yes. EAP, Employee Assistance Program, allows you to do that. That's like one, that's a level of care right below therapy, right? And so, yes, it's called EAP services. You can also do some short-term disability or FMLA, depending on, you know, what you're working on and how your clinician or team, your behavioral health team sets it out. So, yes, you can take time off work for therapy without being fired. Most Black cultures were taught that what happens in the household stays there. Yes, it is. It has had terrible repercussions for generations. Absolutely. 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 All right. So that was reason number one, right? Why you should talk in an environment or speak in an environment that gives you emotional safety, because friends and families cannot be your only outlet. All right. The next thing here is, you know, why should I engage in therapy? Self-care. Mm-hmm. Right? Self-care. You know, do you feel like, do you all feel like you've turned up self-care a notch in your life? Like, do you feel like you've upgraded how you emotionally and physically take care of yourselves right now?
I think I've, in some areas I've gotten better, in other areas I don't do as well as I used to.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, yeah, I'm doing the things mentally that I need to do.
Okay.
More than I was doing before, but physically I'm not doing the things that I used to do. So I definitely need to get back on that side of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
We compare it to, you know, just like we pay attention to our physical health, mm-hmm. right? We should prioritize our mental health, right? It should be a part of self-care practices, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you think about, okay, I know I go through stuff, right? I know that, you know, I know what anxiety feels like. I know what depression feels like, right? So my question to you is, what do you do about it? If you know these things about yourself, let's take down the shame. Let's take down the stigma to say that just like your physical health, right, you have an investment in your physical health, you should have an investment in your mental health, right? We deal with some heavy stuff. So you have to create this environment where, all right, I know me, right? And I need to make sure that I engage in something every week or every 2 weeks. But like I said, I'm not here to promote one form of therapy, but you should understand that there is a there's so many different services. There's so many different outlets, right, for taking care of your mental health. And we are here and we're waiting. And what I mean by that is during this pandemic, many of us, right, have dedicated time, not only taking care of ourselves, right, so we can continue to do this work, but to understand the magnitude of this,
mm-hmm.
right? This is new, but you know, just like they're out there trying to find a vaccine, right, for COVID, right? We know that we have to find the best treatment, the best treatment approaches for us coming out of this pandemic. And we don't take it lightly, right? We don't take lightly the grief. We don't take lightly marriages that have failed, right? We don't take lightly people lost, you know, went through miscarriages, people, addictions, people are having a rough time being in isolation. We don't underestimate the magnitude of these things. And so, yes, we are working diligently behind the scenes to say, okay, when we come up for some air, right, when we think about this, Where are people going to go? How will they know, right, that we've upgraded, right, that we've upgraded the level of care? We've upgraded how we will approach mental wellness coming out of this pandemic. Right. And so, you know, yes, a lot of us have been creative. It's been a time of reflection. And I hear it. I see people saying, you know what? I should have started, you know, doing this for myself a long time ago. Right. So there are many people who have embraced because we've had time. Right. A lot of travel has been cut out. Right. So people are connecting more. There's a lot of online services that's taking place. People are engaging more consistently in emotional wellness. And that's what you have to say to yourself. I'm going to keep doing this. Right. So it should be a part of self-care. Right. I like when people say, well, you know, I don't always have something to talk about.
Okay.
Right. When I go to therapy, mm-hmm. and I'm like, this is not a girl talk.
Mm.
Right. We got to get down to business. Right. It's time to keep, you know, allow us right to usher into right the core, you know. And so that I think that's another misconception is that therapy you must have something already. Prescripted to talk about,
mm-hmm.
right? But no, your job is just to show up, right? And allow the process to unfold, right? Allow yourself to just relax, right? And decompress, because therapy can also be a form of decompressing,
mm-hmm.
right? It's not all the ways, okay, every time I show up, it has to be so intense. Right. This, you know, ooh, you know, I just released this pressure valve that was so it weighed so heavy on me. No, therapy is a journey. You should feel lighter. Right. As you engage in whatever program you're in, you should feel lighter. Right. You should come in. You started out very emotional in the sessions and now you're laughing. Right. You're embracing your accomplishments. Now we're talking more about being consistent and what's going on, what's working well in your life. We have to see that. We love to see that. That's how you know you're healing. You know what I'm saying? That's your journey. Your journey is I came in here one way, but I noticed that since I've been showing up, right, since I've been able to be me, since I've been able to express, you know, in my own way and take my time and you're my sounding board and you're there, right, to just validate my feelings, I feel better. I look at life differently. Right? And so that's what this is that, yes, it's a journey. Right. Having the right person walk alongside of you on this journey of change, on this journey of healing is the best self-care you can give to you.
Don't get no argument out of me on that one.
Right. So when I think about gift cards, right, why don't we have gift cards for therapy?
Oh,
you know, if you really want somebody, right, if you really want to,
you
know
my mind is bad because I just.
Your mind? Oh, my goodness.
Because I'm like, you know, I could just go to the Walgreens, get you like get you this Visa gift card, be like, hey, I'm getting you this so you can go get you some help. Here you go. Get this. You need some help. You go this Visa gift card. I need you to run on over here. And look, inside this gift card, there is a number. See, the problem is. You know what it is? It needs to be in a you know what's a good idea? It's actually, I'm surprised because you might open the door for something. They just like you, what, you know, the money that's set aside on the insurance, what's the pre-spend money that they set aside? The flexible spending account?
Uh-huh.
They should make like FSA debit cards that you can buy, gift cards.
Okay.
So then if I give it to you, you can only use it at a doctor's office.
Right.
Or you can use it to buy, well, you know, drugs or prescription. But you can use it at a doctor's office.
True.
There you go.
That's true.
That's a good move, Dr. Thomas. You need to go ahead and put that out there.
Felicia said you may get cussed out.
This won't be the first time, Felicia. Be all right. I get over it, though.
But, you know, thinking about that, right? If you see me and I've been struggling, you know, and we know what healthcare, you know, the system is like, right? You know, there are many providers out there who first of all, there are some services that, you know, are free, right?
Mm-hmm.
But how many of us would, right, if there was such a thing as gift cards or certificate, gift certificates, right, to say, hey, you know, I just purchased 6 months of, you know, therapy for you, right, because I realized that, you know, you need a space to get this stuff out and to heal, because I know you've been going through some stuff,
well,
right? Go ahead.
But Groupon has, I guess, like, they'll discount it, you know, discount their therapy sessions with the with especially students who are in social, you know, in social work or sociology and everything else like that. So
okay.
They do have that. So that's a way of giving a gift that keeps on giving.
Right. Okay.
So just what about, like, if you, like, put a gift card in a box get a big box with a straight jacket and you put a gift card on top of it.
We are so going to move on.
Huh?
You know, really?
Damn.
Really?
No.
Damn.
That's insinuating that they need to be confined.
When is, and is, what's the difference? So an insinuation versus a factual statement.
That's your fact. It's your opinion. How do you know they need to be in a straitjacket?
If you see them, you know, like running into walls and doing stuff.
We're not talking about that.
Okay, all right, I'm moving on.
Right,
I'm
we're
moving
talking
on.
About
I
that.
Have moved on. We, I have digressed it.
We're talking about, right, being mindful, right?
Mindful.
Really, really, and even possibly going with them on the first round, right? So you know, if we really want to support, and we really, you know, see this person is, you know, ambivalent or shy, you know, I just think that why not offer to go with? Right? But, you know, you can't be in a position where you feel like it's going to rub off on you, right? It's just been funny over the years, right? How people, you know, hey, are you going to go with me to therapy? And it's like, oh, no. You know, I drop you off. I wait in the car.
Man, I'm going to be right here in this parking lot. Matter of fact, where you got to go, I got some Uber points.
It's funny you say that. You said rub off. Like, one of my coworkers, she had to leave the job because her husband was like, it's going to rub off on the baby. And I'm like, really?
What?
In utero is going to rub off. You helping someone else.
What?
It's going to rub off on the baby. He's up to, like, you know, you got to go. You're going to be just as crazy as the clients you serve. And I'm like, wow. So she went part-time.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay. So
much I can say to that. But
not be ashamed, right? Not be ashamed. Now, don't sit in the car and wait. Come on up with them. Be supportive. Right. Well, it's like, what harm, right, will it do? You walking the person up and waiting in the waiting area until they get done. All right. So self-care. The next reason is you need a different perspective. Right. You know, the way therapy or behavioral health works is, we help you find alternative solutions, right? Being in an environment where, you know, this particular conversation, which with therapy, it widens your perspective, right? And it creates this this difference between you and the problem, right? And so you know, a lot of times you think back to your personal space, right? We're always saying it's you. It's you, right? You're the problem. Now, you're the reason I'm always doing this. You. And we turn that on ourselves, right? But in behavioral health, we disconnect you from the problem because you are not the problem, right? You are not the problem. The problem stands alone. And so if we can get you to see a different perspective on the issues that you're facing in your life, then that helps you create a different outlook, that helps you create right? Another level of creativity, right? And so understanding that, you eventually overcome, right? You eventually overcome the stress. You eventually, right, learn how to manage your emotions. You learn how to say, okay, that problem doesn't define who I am, right? This problem doesn't predict, right, that my future is not going to be, you know, eventful. My future, you know, we become more pessimistic than optimistic, right? We separate you from your problem. This is like depression, right? And I approach depression as you can live with it or without it, right? Right, on a personal level and as a clinician, I don't speak of depression as if it's part of your character, right? Because I believe, right, if number one, it's a symptom and a disorder. We all feel sad. We all feel, you know, whatever that, you know, criteria is, lack of concentration, feelings of hopelessness, and, you know, all that stuff that comes with it. But it's an emotion. Right. And so if you say, hey, I'm tired of lingering with feelings of depression, guess what? You have to disown it. Right. I don't look at it as, OK, with depression and anxiety, you wear it like it's a clothing article. It's an item of clothing. I don't look at it like that, because that means that you have to live with it. Right. And who wants to live with it? When we know that there are alternative perspectives, there's a different, you know, way you can look at life and say, my declaration for today is I'm not fooling with depression. Notice I didn't say by depression. Because I'm not owning it.
I don't fool with you. That's not how it goes. I know it. I can't sing that version.
My God. Right. You know, so really looking at it as, you know, when you say reason, right, to go into this precious space of being with, you know, a therapist is to help you get a different perspective on life.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You don't have to take psychotropic medications, right, until the end of time. Not if you have someone to help you navigate life in the way that works for you. Because one thing about psychotropic medication, it does not change how you think, your brain. It numbs you physically, but it doesn't change how you think. Right. And so that's what we're living in this age of appeal. Right. But one thing about it is when that person that said they don't want to take medication for the rest of their life for diabetes, they change their lifestyle. They exercise. They do this. They found foods that work well, foods that don't work well. They stay away from it. There's this discipline that they have for themselves. And it really is the same model that can be used for psychotropic meds. If you're willing to put in the work, if you're willing to, you know, take advantage of your system of care, right, which includes mental wellness, yes, you don't have to take psychotropic meds for the rest of your life. That's the long term, right? You know, in my talk therapy, I say up front, you know, we in this for the long haul. Right. Because I know when our time together is over. Right. There's a new chapter of your life that's going to begin. And I want you to have the tools you need. Right. To navigate life. OK. And so that's that, realizing that there's an alternative perspective. Right. Realizing that you could pour into this environment and get something out of it and then find meaning. Right. You know, when you want answers. Right. When you want to understand what's going on in your life. Right. When you want to understand the purpose of the hardships that you're going through. Right. When you want to just say, OK, wait, right. Why am I having these thoughts? And these thoughts you should be able to say in a safe space. Right. Therapy is a process that can help you discover the lesson. right? Or the silver lining, as they say, your problem has presented to you. Sometimes you got to just take a moment and address self. But self must make sure that you're in a safe space to emotionally do that. Right? So you know, I believe in, you know, we have a lot of workshops. We have a lot of, you know, things that are offered right during this time. But don't let that replace a process that you have to go through. That should be in addition to, right? It should be in addition to, this is the process that I'm committed to going. I need to find meaning in my life, and, you know, a one-time event is not going to do it, right? You know, again, it has to be something you can make your own. And therapists don't tell you how to live your life. The last thing we need you to do is come back and tell us, you know, what we said didn't work, right? So we allow the space, right, for you to find what works. We're there to catch, right? So when you show up week after week or whatever your schedule is, right, we're talking about what worked, what didn't work, the emotions that came with it, what hurt you, right? What your strengths are, where your areas of improvement. Guess what? It's okay, right? It's okay that you still curse. It's okay, you know, you say you don't want to smoke no more. All right, now you're down from 5 days to 2 days to, you know, 1 day. You're down from, you know, two packs of cigarettes a week to one week. That's all good in therapy.
Man, I'm down to one rock a week. I'm good. I don't smoke.
Really? Really? That's narcotic.
But it's just one a week now versus.
Felicia says, I like Ayana Van Zant and some of her wisdom, but I don't like the yelling and the blaming a person. It doesn't help. Right. You know, I can't turn that corner only because that's the misperception, right? Is that if we hold up this mirror and tell people what they see instead of allowing them to see it for themselves, we own what they say. You know, how many people, you know, grew up in families where they told you weren't going to be nothing? Right. They told you, you know, if you keep acting this way, this is going to happen to you. You owned it. Right. So you brought it. You made it. You played the role. Right. You fulfilled that theory. And so, you know, that particular approach is why people are sometimes hesitant to seek therapy, because they compare it from that. Because I did disclose all my stuff to you and you turned around and you blamed me for making the decisions that I made. Right? I like to help people recover by looking at the lessons that they learned. Right? Meaning what did you overcome, right, in that period of your life? Not, hey, do you know you did this wrong? And because you did this wrong, right, this is why this, and this happened to you. That's not there. And it never will be. So if you find that, you know, if you're talking to someone and they say they can help you, right, get through this stuff that you've been holding on to, you know, a half your life, and the first thing that come out of their mouth is telling you what you could have done differently, you need to run. Right? You need to run like Forrest. Right?
Run, Forrest.
You need to run, right? Because the last thing you need is someone insulting you about something you already down about. Right? When I look at people coming in, it's like, man down, woman down. Why am I kicking you while you down? It's not my job.
Mm-hmm.
I know how I will feel. Right. If I pour myself out to you and the first thing you said was, right, what made you do that? Right. And all of a sudden, I'm the expert over your life.
Mm-hmm.
And nowhere near in this conversation did I ask God to reveal to me, right, how to help you navigate your life and why you make these decisions, right? So sometimes we have this, you know, bigger role than we should have outside of the realm of behavioral health. So I'm very cautious with that. And sometimes, you know, it's come up where people look at, you know, videos and, you know, they go and people tell them things and obviously it didn't, you know, turn out the way they thought it would. So now we have to process that. So yes, please be very careful who you disclose stuff to, because they say, yeah, I can help you through this. Right. Next week, we're going to talk about things you should ask, right? Your mental health professional. Cause this is not a joke. This is not a game. Right. We have people's minds in the palm of our hands. Right. And yeah, I don't like it when I hear people, you know, pushing out what they can. There are no guarantees. Right. When you teach somebody, right, can you guarantee that they'll learn and remember everything that you tell them?
Mm-mm.
Can you guarantee it?
Not at all.
Right. So those people who say, you know, I guarantee you, if you come to this, right, I guarantee you won't be disappointed. I guarantee you're going to walk away this way and the other. I need you to run. Because guess what? When you tell me that, and I feel the same way that I felt before I came, am I going to blame you or am I going to blame myself? Because that's something I must be really bad, right? Because I didn't get what you said. I feel the same, right? So am I worse, right? Did, you know, how bad am I? Because what you said I should have got from this experience, it didn't last 2 weeks. How did I get back to this place? Because you said I would be healed forever. If I came and did this, and this for that one time, right? So don't replace, right? Don't try to take the shortcut with your mental wellness. Treat it like your physical wellness, right? Invest in it. Give it a chance to work, right? Just as many years we've been uncovering and not addressing our issues, you need that much time to process it in therapy, right? It's not a quick fix. It's not a quick fix, all right? The next thing here is, you know, the last one here is discover new coping strategies, right? When you talk in this environment, you ever was talking to someone and you say, you know what? I just figured it out. I just now, you know, realized that when I was here talking to you, right? Because I didn't think about this before, but just talking to you right now, I figured this out. You ever felt that way?
Absolutely.
Right. So think, look at it from that perspective, right? Think of it as, right, this is the space, right, for you to uncover, take a deep breath, right, get some validation, have somebody ask for clarity for your goals, right, have somebody cheer you on, right, not take it away from you, not discourage you, not, you know, try to tell you, oh, well, if I were you, I would do this, but you're not me. Right? You're not me. So therefore, putting myself in a position to be you, that's unfair to you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So in this particular environment, in this therapeutic environment, our job is to help you discover. Right? Help you discover new coping strategies, right? For your current and future problems. Help you discover the effort that you want to put in, right, for change, and to give you education, right, to give you the nuggets, to give you, right, whatever tools you need to push you into that long-term strategy, all right? So when we talk about, you know, the title was what said here stated, that means that look at this as a deposit, right? It's not going anywhere. Right. Yes, there are many things you don't have to worry about when you invest in therapy. You could be vulnerable and going on about your day. You don't have to worry about nobody calling you. Right. You don't have to worry about, you know, it being told to the other BFF. Right. You don't have to worry about, you know, being on social media. right? You don't have to worry about any of that. So make it where you understand that it's okay to have therapy, right? The process of therapy be a part of your life. So gift somebody this season, right? Gift yourself or gift somebody that you know, hey, we're not ashamed of this, right? We're not ashamed of this. So I'm going to, right, do this for you. All right. And even if, you know, if it's like I said, it could be a group, right? It could be a support group therapy, one-on-one therapy. If you particularly know their issues, there's a lot of specialists out there, right? Trauma-focused therapy, anxiety, right? There are many specialists. I always want you to have quality service, right? We don't have to be bootleg. You deserve the best, right? So go get the cream of the crop. Right. Go get the cream of the crop because I value you. Right. I value every person that walks in my door. They're getting the highest quality of care. And I make sure I do that. Right. But make sure I stay on my stuff. Right. And I know my my partners do, too. Right. So I understand that there is an investment that we have on this level to say when you're ready. Right. When you're ready to start this journey. We're here, right? So reach, get the cream of the crop, right? Next week, we're talking about those questions because this is your life. When you're searching specialists for different types of medical issues, you're throwing out all these type of questions. You're Googling them, right? You're looking on Facebook. You're looking up reviews. You're looking up all type of stuff, right? Your mind is just as important as your blood sugar level. Did I say that right?
Your mind is just as important as your blood sugar level.
Right,
I can appreciate
right.
that.
You know,
I can
it's
appreciate
just
that.
As important, right? It's your high blood pressure, right? You get that checked.
I'm with you.
You know, regularly,
you're
right?
Talking,
so
you're talking good now.
You know, don't underestimate, right, the power of taking care of your mind. Right? Don't underestimate that. Don't shortchange yourself, right? Go for the best, right? Make those calls, right? Don't you know? Don't settle. I don't like that, right? Don't settle. All right. So I just want to start that, you know, start this series on, you know, why should you invest in therapy, right? Because the what's said here stays here is everything. Right, there's a security that you should have in knowing that I can give the most vulnerable part to me in a safe space, and it stays here. Right, your thoughts. If we talk about your files locked up,
mm-hmm.
Right, we don't go in a space unless you invite us in. We don't intrude. Right, we don't force ourselves into, you know, making you go into a place where you're not ready to go into. Right. We take this journey with you. All right. So I want you to put that. I wanted to put that out there. Right. Think about that. Think about those people in your life. Think about yourself. Talk about that in your home. Right. What does your self-care for your mental wellness look like? What does it consist of? If nothing is there. Right. If you have. OK, well, we eat good. Right. We have a good, you know, balance in our diet. Right. We take our walks. We do this and that. But then you don't have any emotional self-care practice. I need you to fill that in. All right. I need you to fill in the blank with professionals, with trained people. Right. Because you should value that just as much as your primary care physician. Because, you know, we drop them in a heartbeat. Right.
Mm-hmm.
When they don't answer our calls or, you know, so we don't like the way they said something to us, you know, with when we weigh in and all that kind of stuff. Right. We drop. Them, right. So look at your mental wellness. Just the same. Right. It's as important. Just as valuable. All right. Great people. So that was my soapbox for today. Right.
Oh.
It's to come on here and right. Push out. We're at the end of a year, and you deserve, right? You deserve.
You deserve.
You deserve emotional support. right, from the right person or the right people. Right? You deserve it. Okay? All right. So, thank you all for tuning in. We'll be back next week, right? Still going at this and hoping that you spread the word, right? You recognize and you're not ashamed to have those conversations or open those doors. You know, we're getting ready for 21, right? And I declare, I promise you, right, whoever's in my circle as far as professional circle, you know, we're coming with it, right? Because our culture needs it, right? We've been through a lot. Right. We've been through a lot. And from the racial unrest and just the whole, you know, aspect of recovery. Right. We are in recovery from some stuff. And so with that comes the best level of care. All right. Recovery needs the best level of care. And that's what I'm going to be pushing. So when I bring my partners on here. Right. When I bring, you know, start to, you know, introduce people, it's just a way of pushing out there what we have access to. And we need to use it. Right. We need to use it. All right. So enjoy the rest of your evening. Thank you, Malia. Thank you for joining. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your evening, the rest of your week. Be safe. We'll be back. Wait, what's coming up? What's today? Tuesday.
Tuesday.
So Friday. Are we on Friday?
Grindology is Thursday. I don't know if it's back, but Grindology is Thursday.
Grindology is Thursday, and Friday is
CTLOA. Oh, okay. Well, you look like you're struggling. I'm trying to help you out.
That's not the name of the show.
What's the name of the show?
Praise Break.
Oh, Praise Break Friday. Oh, I'm so sorry. You're right.
Y'all have a good one.